Good evening. It is December 15th, 2021. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, the Courier News, the Express Times, and the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to honor our servicemen and women and our first responders.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we wanted to start this evening by recognizing an event that occurred this past Tuesday at our planning board meeting. Planning board member Josh Rich celebrated his 50th year serving on the Township Planning Board. For those of you who may not know that function, the planning board is appointed volunteers along with the Board of Adjustment. They really have the vision for how the township's property and development works, and being 50 years, I think that's at least ties a record or maybe sets the record. It certainly sets a standard for all of us. When he was asked at the meeting what his proudest accomplishment was, he said that it was keeping the rural character of the township, and we certainly thank him and all the volunteers on those two boards. Any other comments from anyone? Okay. With that, we're on to presentation of minutes. I have on the two regular minutes, the regular minutes of the November 17th meeting and the regular minutes of the December 1st meeting, we have gone, over the past years, we've gone back and forth with the policy on these minutes, and my understanding is the policy is that the minutes should reflect the topics stated, the action proposed, action taken, and we sometimes veer off into quasi-transcripts, and I think these 2 minutes have done that, and so I would request that we ask the clerk to redraft these minutes, taking out some of the non-action opinion sections. But any discussion from the rest of the committee?
That's kind of why we put it as recordings on the internet, so it was in full detail, and this was a summary.
We're not trying to hide anything. In fact, when Mark Wall was mayor, he led the initiative to have the full recordings put on the website. It's just the act of not being a transcript but being a paraphrase by definition requires sort of editorial input, and I think that's what's happened again in these two sets of minutes. So rather than try to go word by word, I would just ask for a review to try to get it back to the policy that I think we've established well over the last couple of years.
And what topic is specific to your nature? I'm not asking to read it, but
For example, on the public comments of November 17th, there's a good half page of discussion of Ms. Kohler's opinion on the cannabis work. There's no action proposed. There was no, you know, and I think she had about a 3-page commentary, so a half page was summarized out of it, and that's, to my mind, not keeping with the policy of this committee.
And then in the other regular minutes?
In the other, for example, on the after executive session, there's about almost a full page of discussion of the business administrator, where different people are sort of have sound bites of their opinions and views, as opposed to oftentimes it's just stated discussion
so
held and then the action
it, and then we'll have a chance to all look at it again.
Oh, of course,
and
yeah.
If any objections, yeah, we can of course voice them then.
Of course.
Okay.
So if there's
then a motion to
is that a motion?
Okay. Motion to relook at them and bring them back into policy of being topics and just points of discussion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. The executive session minutes from November 17th. I personally have no comments on those. Any discussion from the committee?
I'll make a motion to approve the November 17th, 2021 executive session meeting minutes.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the executive session minutes for December 1st, just to explain to the public, there was a personnel matter, which when we came out of executive session, action was taken regarding Maria Nacarado. I, some half a year after she joined, was an employee of the township, I entered a non-work-related commercial agreement with her, so I recused myself. I left the room for that discussion, so anything related to Maria Nacarado, for the avoidance of any appearance of the conflict of interest, I turn over to Deputy Mayor McKee.
I would like to table for executive session to just ask one sentence to be added to it and get the thoughts of the rest of the committee on that. That's why I'd like to table it, if possible, until that discussion, until executive session.
Is that a motion?
Motion or table?
Yeah.
Yep.
And go into executive to review it and come out and with potential action or changes?
Yes.
And that's a motion we have. I have a second.
I'll second it.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Abstain. And with that, we open the meeting to public comment, limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment, agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Please come to the microphone, state your name, road you live on. Mm-hmm. Reminding everyone that the meeting is recorded and will be posted promptly on the website.
My name is Maria Nacarado. I'm not only a township resident and longtime volunteer, but also a township employee working in a clerical role and as interim planning and zoning board clerk under Karen Sandors for a year now. While I love Lebanon Township and enjoy serving our residents from here in the municipal building, I've come to speak today to express my dissatisfaction with how I've been treated as an employee. My purpose is to provide the governing body with information that you might not otherwise hear. I want to pass along my experience, which I think highlights areas where improvement could make the township better. When I was interviewed last November for the part-time clerical position, Ms. Sandors informed me that retirements in the building were imminent. I would not only be hired to complete a large filing project, but I would have the opportunity to work with the different departments to understand the ins and outs of the office. Beginning in December and working efficiently with my coworker, we were able to consolidate, organize, and arrange the files in a more user-friendly way. We identified misplaced sensitive materials, documents, and ledgers, and identified storage and organizational solutions that would be helpful to the staff. Within a few months, it became clear that I would be filling the role of planning and zoning board clerk while Ms. Glassoff was on leave. I was directed to spend as much time with her as possible to learn the job. In May, Ms. Sandors enrolled me in the basic course for land use and planning. This summer, she directed me to investigate the land use courses offered at Rutgers, stating it would be beneficial to my role in the planning and zoning office and would be a course she would support me taking in order to become more familiar with the job. It appeared the township was investing in my future in the position and grooming me for a long-term role in the township. I was an outstanding employee and in good standing with the township, as you stated in the December 1st committee meeting, and Ms. Sandors never highlighted any gaps in my performance. In early November, Ms. Sandors informed me that Ms. Glassoff was returning to the office on December 1st. At that time, I was assured there would be work for me upon her return. During the 5 months that Ms. Glassoff was out, I was told there was plenty of work that needed to be done outside of the Planning and Zoning Board Department, even after her return. This was a consistent message. Last week, there was a very sudden change in communication from Ms. Sandors, where all of a sudden there was no more work to do. I was being laid off. What happened to all the work there was for me to do in November that now no longer exists? It all seems very suspicious. Where was the performance review to single me out and reverse all the talk of training and advancement? I'd like to add, 5 business days passed before my manager, Ms. Sandors, made any attempt to speak to me about the layoff. The audio of the meeting, where it was publicly announced, was posted to the township website, and yet she still had not informed me. A good manager would never allow that to happen. I would expect a good manager to have more dignity and respect. In addition, under the Open Public Meetings Act, I should have received notification at least 48 hours in advance that my position would be discussed this evening. Ms. Sandor sent me a rice notice at 6:13 p.m. last night. The agenda, which has been posted to the township website for many days now, listed my position as an item of discussion. I would like to know why Ms. Sandors did not properly notice me. I have asked her twice today via email and still did not receive a response. Is she too busy? Forget? Either case, it's poor management. You may be surprised to know that in the office, teamwork seems to be discouraged in some respects. basic management tasks don't exist, while in other respects there is micromanagement. While it was a poor experience working with Ms. Sandors, which I've come to understand is an experience I share with many who have come before me, I did thoroughly enjoy the work itself and engaging with our residents, and would welcome an opportunity to continue working for the township under different circumstances. If not, I look forward to continuing to make Lebanon Township a great place to live through my volunteer work on the Environmental Commission, the historians, the recreation, and through the school system. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public?
Normally I do this, wing this stuff, but I have notes I made. I'm trying to wrap my head around what Ms. Nakarado said, whether it has anything to what I have to say, if it corresponds with it. So I'm going to address what I have to say, and you can make the decision if there's anything that connects the two. My problem is with the agenda. As you know, I've showed up at a couple of meetings here lately. I'm on the planning board. Things are discussed here that involve the planning board. They come before the planning board. I like to hear the things for myself, and I decided to attend some meetings. Listen to a couple meetings when it was written on a telephone, and I checked the agenda. The last agenda, the December 1st agenda, never appeared on the website. I checked on Tuesday, and I checked again on Wednesday, in the midday, and again around 5 o'clock. Never appeared on the township website. This is where I go to look at the agenda. I notice there is an agenda on this bulletin board out here. Well, a lot of good that does anybody when you got this place locked up like Fort Knox and nobody can get in. So if that's posting the agenda properly for the public to see, I think any reasonable person would say that's not good enough. So given the fact that the agenda was not posted properly, in my opinion, on the township website, I've heard many times here that if a topic is not posted on the agenda, not made available to the public, it can't be talked about or voted on. So I raised the question, was that meeting even legitimate, December 1st meeting? The agenda wasn't properly posted, right? Do you have to do everything over again, the executive session, everything you voted on because it wasn't properly posted to the public? And like I said, on this bulletin board out here, ain't gotten it. So after the meeting, I started thinking that meeting was never, after it came off, it was never properly posted. Is it legitimate? So I searched around on a website, and the attorney, thank you for letting me speak, and correct me if anything I say is wrong. I looked up some of the stuff on the Open Public Meetings Act. A couple of things I found is the Open Public Meetings Act requires that, to the extent known, an agenda should be available to the public 48 hours in advance of a public meeting. That was not done, in my opinion. Also goes on to say, penalties for noncompliance. Any action taken at a meeting held in violation of the Open Public Meetings Act is null and void. Then it gives C law, whatever you want to call it. Interesting part you may find interesting here, gentlemen, Ms. Kohler. Any member of a governing body who attends a meeting knowing that it violates the Open Public Meeting Act is subject to a potential personal liability of $500 for the first violation and $1,000 for a subsequent one. If I were you guys, I'd throw the clerk under the bus, save yourself some financial liability. Why was that thing not posted? Clerk's got too much on her plate to handle doing her job. This is an important part of the job. To me, it's an important part of the job. I have things I can do on Wednesday nights. I look at the agenda to see if it's something relevant I want to see, something to do with the planning board. We got a lot going on now. Marijuana, lights, signs. It's important to me, and it wasn't put on there. Apparently, I've done it without my notes, but let me go back. So like I say, I question whether that meeting was even legal. And if you guys knew about it, apparently you're on the hook for $500 that it wasn't posted properly. I find it peculiar, I didn't go back in time to see how many other meetings weren't properly posted. Like I said, I've only been looking currently the last maybe 6 months or so. If there were any others in the past that weren't properly posted on the township website. But after listening to what Ms. Nakarado had to say, she wasn't notified properly. This meeting wasn't notified properly. The two, something going on here. Something smell. It's not the mold coming out of the basement. This gentleman here is leaving. You're going to have an executive session. You don't have to work with these people anymore. I'd appreciate it if you know anything that's going on here that doesn't seem about right, you share it with the township committee and the mayor. I was on the fence about filling his position. I'm not anymore. I think it needs to be done. I think there needs to be some oversight in this building. Not posting, not notifying people, not posting agendas, which apparently is somewhat important, liability-wise. I think more oversight needs to be done. Maybe if the clerk has too much more than she can handle, maybe some of it be given to the next township administrator, take some off her plate, and somebody to make sure these agendas are posted. I don't think I'll have to worry about it anymore, will I? They're done in a timely manner. If not, I'll be asking you for $500. That's all I have to say for now. If I think of anything else, I'll say it at the end. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hi, Catherine Koch, Raritan River Road. You all know who I am. This has to stop. This is really getting ridiculous. There's underhanded, back-channel nonsense going out. Maria's the victim this time. Last year, I was the victim. Bev Kohler initiated an Oprah against me that was so deep and so intense, it should have been outlawed by Karen immediately. It violated every rule in the Oprah book. I took the Oprah course. I completely understand how it works, and she made a mockery of it. And in the meantime, she destroys my reputation in the town. Four people had to quit the historians because they were sick and tired of being investigated by her for these demands of every email I ever wrote since 2014. My husband went and read all of them. He said they were pretty boring. But what the hell was that? I'm not in jail. I never got a subpoena. You didn't find anything. What was that about? That was a witch hunt, and Karen Sandors allowed it to happen when she's supposed to be the person monitoring these things and administering these things. And for God's sake, yes. Jamie, I'm so sorry you're retiring. Congratulations on becoming mayor of Parsippany. But we do need an administrator, because apparently Karen is so overworked, the oversights are reprehensible. And I'm sick of it. I volunteer hour after hour after hour in this township on multiple things. Your wells get tested because of me. And this behavior has got to stop. I don't know what the root of it is. Stop smiling.
Smiling.
You are.
And you are just causing a reprehensible amount of damage in this township. We work in this township. We volunteer in this township. We live here. We love it. We pay our taxes. But this underhanded, it's like high court in the English court in the 1700s. What the hell is going on?
Any other comments from the public related to agenda items only? If there are no more, is there a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Did
you vote?
Yes.
I voted yes.
Yes.
Yes. On to some resolutions, number of year-end things that have to be taken care of. First resolution, 94-2021, redemption of tax sale certificate. Whereas the tax collector did sell certificate number 2019-03 on September 13th, 2019 to U.S. Bank Custodian ProCap 8 in the amount of $63,714.01 has been collected from the property owner for Block 18, Lot 47 at 157 Mount Grove Road for the redemption of that tax sale certificate. Therefore, be it resolved that the mayor, treasurer, and clerk be authorized to sign checks in the amount of $63,714.01 to U.S. Bank Custodian for ProCap 8 for the redemption amount and an additional check of $38,000 for the premium monies collected at the tax sale. Is there a motion or discussion on Resolution 94-2021?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 49.
Second.
94-2021.
Excuse me. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes. Resolution 95-2021, return of overpayment of taxes. Whereas an overpayment of $1,665.77 for the first quarter of 2022 and partial second quarter of 2022 were paid due to a double payment for Block 10, Lot 22. Therefore, on behalf of Loan Depot, who submitted the overpayment, the mayor, treasurer, and clerk are authorized to sign this refund check in the amount of $1,665.77. Any discussion or a motion for Resolution 95-2021?
I have a question. Yes. How often does this happen that we get double payments like this?
I don't know. I know refunds are rare, and I know the tax collector typically tries to apply them forward, but if someone explicitly requests it and for a double payment, she will run this through us.
It's more common with the mortgage companies who sometimes that
escrow.
That's the more common we see it, where it's often widespread.
Thanks.
Any other discussion or motion for Resolution 95-2021?
Now I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 95-2021.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Resolution 96-2021, return overpayment of taxes. Overpayment was made of $6,098.48 for the third and fourth quarter taxes of 2021, made after the parcel was deemed exempt by the County Board of Taxation for Block 21, Lot 6.01. This is for the Hunterdon County Medical Center, so the mayor, treasurer, and clerk are hereby authorized to refund the check in the amount of $6,098.48. Any discussion or motion?
I have a question.
Yes.
Where is this property located?
This is at 384 Route 513, the Hunterdon County Medical Practice on 513.
Hickory Run.
Hickory Run, yes.
So up until the point it was taken over by the medical center, it was paying taxes?
We were assessing them taxes, they were paying taxes, and then I believe the state changed the rule to turn a practice like that into a not-for-profit exempt property.
That's correct.
Okay. Just curious.
And they had obviously paid ahead, and so now they don't until they get it back. Any other discussion or motion for Resolution 96-2021?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 96-2021.
A second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Resolution 97-2021, another return overpayment of taxes. An overpayment of taxes was made of $3,971.34 for the fourth quarter due to granting of a 100% disabled veteran deduction, which deemed this parcel tax-exempt, Block 24, Lot 1005. 5 Evergreen Lane, Califon, zip code. Therefore, the resolution authorizes the mayor, treasurer, and clerk to sign a refund check in the amount of $3,971.34. Any discussion or motion for Resolution 97-2021?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Resolution 98-2021, cancellation of taxes, whereas there exist tax balances for the fourth quarter of 2021 and the first and second quarter of 2022 to be canceled due to the Township of Lebanon obtaining ownership of this parcel, which is Block 59, Lot 21 at 248 Muskinecong River Road. This was a small bit of property donated to the Township and accepted by the Township Committee. The amount of taxes to be canceled is $76.85. Any discussion or a motion for Resolution 98-2021?
I make a motion that we approve that.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Resolution 99-2021, redemption of tax sale certificate, whereas it's, and it's, I believe it's a typo on the agenda. It says return of overpayment. This is a redemption of tax sale certificate. Tax collector did sell tax sale certificate 2019-5 on September 13th, 2019, again to U.S. Bank Custodian for ProCap 8, whereas the amount of $50,446.51 has been collected from the property owner for Block 57, Lot 32 at 128 Anthony Road. Be it resolved that the mayor, treasurer, and clerk be authorized to sign a check in the amount of $50,446.51 to U.S. Bank Custodian for ProCap 8 for the redemption amount. Any discussion or motion to approve Resolution 99-2021?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 99-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And last resolution for tonight and for the year probably, Resolution 100-2021. This is a so-called transfer resolution. Our CFO has provided us with a list of accounts where money would be transferred out, money transferred into other accounts. This is basically housekeeping, with most of the transfers are $1,000 here, in some case 20 cents here, just because payroll is working out to need 20 cents in an account. The biggest area where money is transferred out of is from the health insurance, employee health insurance amount, where we had over budgeted because we had a number of employees who opted out of our health care. And so that's $20,000 out, $10,000 in as a cushion for police overtime at the end of the year, and another $10,000 to the gas and diesel fuel due to price increases through the year, and then another $17,000 to the public employee retirement system due to higher assessment from the state pension fund. So the total of this transfer resolution, we total $42,746.50 out of various accounts and the same amount into various accounts. Any discussion that anyone would have on that?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 100-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us to unfinished business. First item is proposed ordinances, the electric vehicle charging station ordinance and the sign ordinance. Both of these were discussed at the planning board meeting the other night. Bev, as a member of the planning board, would you like to say anything about these?
No, just let it pass through the planning board, and it's back here, and it basically, it's a mandate whether we pass this ordinance or not by the state.
So both ordinances were reviewed by the planning board, and as there's a memo from the planning board secretary, they had no changes to them, so we would direct the attorney to prepare the ordinances for introduction at the earliest availability in the new year.
Mm-hmm. You want them introed at reorg, or?
I don't, it's not. I would say not at reorg. Let's go to the.
Okay. And then it'll technically have to be referred back over.
That's what
we
they
did this to avoid the potential of multiple publications.
Yes.
But the statute still requires that. The board can certainly waive their statutory review.
The
send it back saying yes, we agree.
The planning board anticipated that. So. Okay. Next item on the agenda would be scheduling a special meeting for business administrator interviews. I would suggest we table this discussion until after executive session, when the committee can review some of the resumes that have been received, and mm-hmm. then potentially after that we could address that. I had one other item of unfinished business. This goes to what I'll call the vestibule update. during the summer and under COVID rules, we've asked the public to remain out of the building. We've had slots installed in the windows. To my understanding and everything I'm aware of, the public has had all their services provided. There's a roof where they're out of the rain, but as we've discussed a number of times, heading into the colder winter and snow and the like, discussed with Karen Sendors the potential for having people get into the vestibule, at least out of the cold weather. And Karen, you said that we'd ordered some furniture, just for the whole committee to be aware of a table and things to be able to work a little bit better inside. Do you have any update if that's...
No, I can check
it. Okay, just for the committee to be aware, I think we were going to try to let people into that vestibule. And then while we had a policy up till now of not having people in the building, we're going to loosen that. It would be up to the discretion of the different professionals, whether it's the tax assessor, collector, zoning officer. If they need to have a more extensive meeting, they've been doing it outside, but with vaccination levels high and the like, if they feel that they need to bring someone in, as discussed with Karen, the plan would be to let them come in. As discussed with Jamie, he suggested...
Well, yeah, what we're doing in Tewksbury and other towns are doing is that if you have an appointment or a meeting, they have to fill out a form. You know, the whole form that...
The symptoms questionnaire,
the symptoms
basically.
Questionnaire. But they would have to make an appointment ahead of time. They just can't walk in. So they make the appointment, they come in, and then whoever is can take them to their office or come into the council chamber here, committee chambers.
Does that also involve a testing with the temperature gauge of some sort?
Yes, when they come in, there's an eye scanner, and it gives you temperature. And if they,
we don't have that.
If you're going to do that, that's a good point, commitment. It would be advantageous to get a scanner because they have to scan their eye. The temperature comes up, and if it's over 100, then you're not letting them in the building.
What happened to the little plastic
gun? Oh, you could do that too.
What
I found out is the employees don't feel comfortable going up to somebody
with something that looks like a gun.
Door, they get they scan them in. They're not anywhere near them, and then you know what the temperature is. It's a shame it comes coming down to that. But.
And I think we'll have to somehow work out the logistics to have just one person doing business in the vestibule at a time because it's a contained area, so we'll have to work on that logistic.
Does that require any training of any sort? Other than pointing it at the forehead? Does it require any training of an employee professional other than point it at them and get the reading? All right.
It's just like in the airport. Well, they don't even do it anymore at the airport.
So that's an update on that. Unless anyone has any further discussion on the vestibule situation, any other unfinished business? If not, on new business, we have a request to appoint a library per diem employee. We have her application before us, Kathleen F. Schwartz, highly qualified, very experienced in libraries around the state. Well, at least one library. The Long Hill Township Library. Any discussion, or would there be a motion to approve the hiring of Kathleen Schwartz as a per diem for the library? And I assume that would be for the museum as required as well.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to presentation of vouchers.
I have none that apply.
For those of you who are new, haven't attended before, we read out township bills over $1,000 and over, just to inform you.
The first one I have here is for Warren Asphalt for road improvements, $4,786.89. I also have another one from Warren Asphalt. Again, with road resurfacing and road improvements, $1,955.22. Hesco Lighting parts for DPW, $1,121.95. And traffic stripes in the township, you might have recently seen them, $16,986.60. And it was 188,740 lineal feet. And 9 cents a foot. And the last one I have is AS Hydraulics for repair on a cylinder head, $1,535.
I have the New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan, the premiums for the month of December, $54,745.46. U.S. Bank Custodian for ProCap 8, one of the return of tax sale certificate 2019-03 in the amount of $38,000. U.S. Postal Service for our postage meter in the amount of $2,000. Downstate Property Managers, Advanced Recycling, this was for the Electronics Recycling Day, total of $4,170. Hunterdon Medical Center, the return of the overpayment of taxes, $6,098.48. Loan Depot for the refund of the overpayment of taxes, $1,665.77. Robert Below, refund overpayment for the 100% disabled veteran resolution we passed, $3,971.34. Township of Holland for our second installment of our shared service for a qualified purchasing agent, total of $1,000. U.S. Bank Custodian for ProCap 8, tax sale certificate 2019-03, the amount of $63,714.01. And tax sale certificate 2019-5, again, U.S. Bank Custodian for ProCap 8, the amount of $50,446.51.
I have no bills that apply.
None that apply for me either.
So the total voucher list is $259,602.92. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Under correspondence, we have a number of reports from the tax collector, which we typically read out as well. I will just highlight for each month. So we have the tax collector report for the month ending June 2021, total amount collected mostly for tax year 2021, but some of that is also for prior year 2020, some interest payments, and other fees such as bounce checks and the like. But the net for June of 2021 was $262,288.48. And to remind everybody, that's the municipal amount. That's also the schools that we collect for, the county tax and the like. July 2021, total collected was $215,275.94. August 2021, total collected was $5,730,203.83. October 2021, total amount collected was $443,407.89. And through the end of November 2021, total amount collected was $5,112,442.29 for total collections year to date of $22,338,766.89. Then we have correspondence to Ms. Kohler from the North Hunterdon Food Pantry.
Yes, Gail Veda gave an end-of-year recap at all the good works down at the North Hunterdon Food Pantry, and I'm just going to read it because there's so much good stuff in it. Beverly, the North Hunterdon Food Pantry, as you can imagine, has been very busy each month, but especially this time of the year. Our client numbers have grown to 34-plus families, which includes approximately 61 adults and about 24 children. We attended the Lebanon Township Community Day and met many of our neighbors, received donations, and signed new volunteers. The clients are still not allowed in the pantry, but the volunteers are distributing selection lists, selecting and bagging the requested items, and then delivering the bags to the client cars. We have a very dedicated and reliable group of volunteers. Local grammar and high school children and the Boy and Girl Scouts have been a huge help in stocking donations on the shelves and helping bag and weighing requested selection lists. Donations from local Boy and Girl Scout groups, Voorhees Key Club, private donations, Johanna Farms, ShopRite, and Grow a Row continue to assist the pantry. We feel we give the clients a variety of items to select from. During the homeschooling, we paid particular attention to ensure that the children had a variety of lunch items while learning at home, even ensuring that they had that necessary juice box, canned or dried fruits, and a snack. We are thankful to ShopRite, who donated the turkeys for all our additional special Thanksgiving and Christmas distribution. We provided each family with a turkey in addition to all the fixings for a complete holiday meal. The pantry is very thankful to be in the community and that it is very generous so that we may provide families with assistance. So we thank Gail, you know, Veda and Janet Ledoux and Karen Smith and all the volunteers and all of the vendors for all their hard work and donations.
Is that a tax-exempt organization, a 501c?
Good question.
I can't confirm.
I haven't seen that next to it, but I don't know.
I'm just curious because
they're located in the building on the Hagedorn property, what I believe was one of the original Hoffman homesteads. Mm-hmm. They moved there after they used to be in Station 3.
Are they under Norwest Cap umbrella though? Because they're a food pantry, they're not a food bank. So they get their supplies. Some of them come from, I thought, a bigger organization, and I thought it was Norwest Cap. I could find out.
I'd just be curious.
Norwest Cap controls all the food pantry in Hunterdon County.
Yeah, so there you go.
Okay.
That's where they get the food from, and since they control.
So if someone wanted to make a testamentary gift to the North Hunterdon Food Pantry, they do it through Norwest Cap?
No, they can do it directly to them. They can do it directly to the local one.
I've done it myself.
Norwest Cap is the food bank. Mm-hmm. So they look to get all the food. It's USDA, et cetera. And then those individual pantries then purchase food at a major discount from the food bank. It's not actually given to them. It's actually a purchased item.
Okay.
So next correspondence, animal control officer report. Anything to highlight?
Cat bites, dog bites. Animals are in quarantine also.
And then a memo from the planning board, recommendations for reappointments. Did you want to highlight that, Ms. Kohler?
Well, these are not committee appointments. These are planning board appointments. So Rick Weiler is up for a 4-year term. Daryl Schmidt is up for a 4-year term. And for the planning board, they're making the recommendation that we reappoint. And then also the Board of Adjustments meeting. I wasn't at that, if you want me to just continue.
Sure.
Okay. So Board of Adjustment, Bruce Terzullo is up for a 4-year term. Wayne Eberly is up for a 4-year term. And Karen Zatika is up for an alternate 2-year term. They would like to all be reappointed, and the Zoning Board recommends that the Mayor and Township Committee. Also, up on the Planning Board, I forgot, Abe Babakowski. Is up. He's interested in being alternate to position. That's why he's not up there with the rest of them with the 4-year term. He's good with that too.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. With that, we would open to public comment.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 At this time, any member of the public who would like to make a comment on any topic, please step forward, identify yourself.
Daryl Schmidt, 226 Mustinek on River Road. Adding on to what I said before, and something different, two things. One, if you go to the township website, I would like to see or recommend that the wording be changed. If you read for the agenda for the township committee, it says where the agenda is supposed to be. Underneath it, it says note. We try to post the current agenda before the committee meetings. I think it's supposed to be 48 hours before, but whatever. I think that should be added. However, last-minute changes sometimes prevent us from doing so. Now, I read that as, in theory, I think it means last-minute changes won't be added or may not be able to be added. But one could construe that as saying last-minute changes means the agenda doesn't have to be posted, right? And I'll read it again. We try to post current agenda before the committee meetings. However, last-minute changes sometimes prevent us from doing so. You know, it can be read two ways. I think that should be clarified. The other thing I want to talk about is I was here picking up my packet out of the file cabinet out front one day, and I ran into a realtor that I know. And she says to me, "What are you doing here?" And I told her I'm picking up my packet and for the planning board meeting. I said, "What are you doing here?" She goes, "Oh, I got an Oprah a property." And I said, "What do you mean, Oprah property?" And she's apparently, when somebody's interested in buying a property or even maybe a realtor listing a property, apparently now it's quite common for the realtor to come access the files on that block and lot. So she would come in here or talk to whoever she talked to, clerk-wise, and I don't imagine you let the realtors rummage through the files. Somebody has to, staff members apparently have a lot to do, have to go down, pull the file out of the cabinet. I don't know what happens. The realtor looks at it, takes pictures, whatever happens. Somebody has to take that back and put it back in the file cabinet. Right? This seems like in the 21st century, seems kind of archaic, and all these records are in a file cabinet somewhere in here. I look up, is this a sprinkler system? I don't know. Something happens in here, these files get wet, not to mention the staff, what it requires the staff to constantly go down there for almost every real estate transaction that happens now. They want to know what's going on with the property, various things that were put on it, whatever permits. I propose to you now, Mr. McKee, I know you're fiscally responsible, so am I. But my mother also said, used the thing about being penny wise and dollar foolish. I would think it'd be a good investment to have these files digitized, where a realtor could go on the township website, go to a link, put in the block and lot number. Now, I don't know if the realtors have access to people's names and stuff that probably they shouldn't, but all this stuff could be blocked out, you know, and downloaded to a link on the township website. Now, obviously, this is going to cost money in the short term, but I think over long term, it's going to save a lot of staffing rummaging around through files cabinets, files getting misplaced, or somebody have to come in and straighten out the mess, right? I think this should be done. I think long term, it would be a convenience to everybody involved, realtors, homeowners, anybody who wants to know, see what's going on with a property. Now, I guess you could hire an outside agency to come in here, sit with the file cabinets for a year or whatever and digitize this stuff and download it to the website. Or possibly, I don't know, Mark, this is probably your forte from what I understand. Could this equipment be rented or bought and a part-time staff member do this stuff and download it? I think long-term it would save a lot of trouble, a lot of filing, and plus it would be, you know, good forever. Something happens down there. I don't know where the file cabinets are in the basement upstairs here. Something happens. The sprinkler goes off. Everything gets wet and ruined. Not to mention the mold problem you got going on. I don't know if the file's moldy. But I think it's something you ought to think about. Obviously, the staff doesn't have time to do it, but extra staff may be added. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
I think that's an excellent suggestion, simply because what the realtors are looking for as to whether or not somebody got a permit for that deck permit for the roof or what's been done to the property.
And all of those are kept in Tewksbury, where we have a shared service with the building construction department. We've discussed digitizing. There are state rules for record retention and the deeds that we have downstairs are copies. The actual originals are in the county site. It's certainly something that should be regularly reviewed, but we have reviewed that, and I think we've got that under control right now.
Another problem that could develop with that is you get more than one person looking for that file or that information, because you might have a realtor do it, you might have an attorney do it, you might have the homeowner do it, and I've been in situations where two or three people have requested the same thing. If it were online, they wouldn't have to go down to the basement two or three times to pull the file up. I think it's a good idea.
We'll review it again in the new year. Any other comments from the public? Otherwise, seeing none. Yep.
Hi, my name is Lisa Rivers. I live on Dewey Lane. I'm just curious, now that Mr. Barbario is going to be going back to Parsippany to be mayor, and I see business administrator candidate interview. This is going to be for that position. Okay, now I ask you, we all convene, meaning tax-paying residents of this township, August 7th, 2019, at the Woodland School for a discussion of that position. And it really wasn't a discussion. You basically were telling us that position was already filled. Is that going to be the same imposition we face now? we have no say, even as a, you know, vote of any way, because I listened to the December 1st meeting at home, and I heard Mr. McKee say he never saw a need for administrator, which I agree with, because we never had one in this township until a decision was made, not voted upon, but made and forced upon the taxpaying residents of this township. And Mr. Law made a comment, oh, well, we have to keep it open to see what kind of talent is out there. So I'm not exactly sure what talent is needed, because James Barbario said how efficient Ms. Sandors was when he sat there at a meeting in this building. So are we just going to have that salary imposed upon us once again? Or are we, as taxpaying residents of this township, going to have a say? Yes or no, sir?
Thank you. Which for is your comment.
No, that's not a comment. That's a question. This is an open and answer discussion, as was not allowed August 7th of 2019. I'm asking a simple yes or no question. I would appreciate an answer as a taxpaying resident of this township. And I was not told that this was not going to be a no question or answer session. So I'm asking you a question.
The typical policy is this is not a question and answer session, but I will answer your question.
You did not.
I will answer your question that this committee uses its judgment. We are elected officials.
It's a simple yes or no answer. Simple yes or no.
And I'm telling you this committee will vote based on its judgment.
And I'm telling you I am asking for a simple yes or no.
I'm not sure what your question is to yes or no.
I asked you, is this new position that's now going to be vacated by Mr. Barbario, August 7th, 2019. It was a sham that you called all of the residents to the Woodland School and said we were going to have a discussion about this position, which had never existed before. It was no discussion. You sat there, over there, and just said you'd already hired. It wasn't up for a vote. It was not up for a vote. It was a sham. So I sit here now, and I would like an answer to my simple yes or no question.
Here's mine. This past meeting shows me we need an adult in charge. We don't have one. So, yes, my vote is yes, we need an administrator. You want to answer? That's my opinion now.
Well,
I was
opinion.
On the fence. Now I'm 100% we do.
But what talent are you looking for? What kind of if he sat over there and said that she was so good when all of you came together?
That's one position. This is another position.
Okay, but what talent is it that are you looking for that is needed that needs to have this position?
We have to see all the resumes and see if that's out
there.
But
what are you looking for that doesn't already exist?
Well, he's leaving.
But he complimented her so highly upon
Mayor,
his
Mayor, if I could interject, I think it's imperative that if we're going to discuss Ms. Sandor's position, she has rights, and we have to, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, because I can't anticipate what the next comments are going to be.
Thank you.
And she has rights, and I know she's here in the room, obviously, but I don't know where the I don't want to wait until it's too late for me to make that. And with regard to the vacancy, I believe the township committee is aware that the position to be filled would require formal action of the governing body as a whole. So, but again, as we continue this evening, and we discuss various employees, some of whom have been noticed, and there's questions, but that. It naturally sometimes delves into other employees who have not been noticed and who also have rights. There's already been mention of others. We cannot critique their performance
even in a favorable manner, because we don't know where that discussion goes, and I just caution everyone that we just remain aware of that.
Thank you. And again, this isn't a question and answer. We hear your concerns, we hear your comments, and that's all we have to say tonight. Any other public comment?
Nancy Lawler, 14 Simons Lane. I'm a volunteer. I'm glad to hear that the committee values.
Could you speak
volunteers.
Into the microphone, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
I can't tell. Oh, there it
is. A little bit louder, please.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that the committee values volunteers. One of the things, you know, there's, as a volunteer, we work with staff. I'm on the Environmental Commission as a committee as a volunteer. When you're considering staff changes, maybe it's a good idea to evaluate before you add or subtract staff, you know, other than for not doing a proper job or whatever. That's, I understand that. But it might be a good idea to have some discussions when you're adding staff or subtracting staff with the committees that support you guys, because sometimes those particular additions or subtractions influence our work as well. And we just want you to maybe take that into consideration. And that sometimes also those additions and subtractions may also influence the contracts of other staff work. So that's all I want to say. Mm. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comment from members of the public? Seeing no more, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, committee has a number of items to discuss in executive session, which would be Resolution 101-2021. We will later be having a business administrator candidate interview. No action expected. As I mentioned, we'll table the discussion of business administrator resumes, potential action on scheduling a special meeting. Then I'll turn it over to Deputy Mayor McKee for the other two items that are on the executive session agenda.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution.
You want to tell the public what those are and whether there'd be potential action? I wasn't made aware of those two items.
In executive session, you mentioned the business administrator candidate interview,
right,
which we'll deal with later. We have the part-time clerical and zoning officer. Part-time clerical has spoken before. You're welcome to speak again. And the zoning officer will be in a private executive session. He chose that instead of in a public session. So
is there potential action on either one of those, just to inform the public?
There could be potential action. There may. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay.
But we'll just put it out there in case there is.
Okay.
That gives us an option. It may not be any action.
Okay.
So at this time, I'd like to take part of the zoning officer.
Let's pass Resolution 101-2021. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll need a motion for 101-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 So at this time, I would like to go into executive, speak to the zoning officer.